The lamb stopped screaming.
Dr. Lecter.
Don't bother with the trace. I won't be on long enough.
Where are you, Dr. Lecter?
I have no plans to call on you, Clarice. The world's more interesting with you in it. So you take care now to extend me the same courtesy.
You know I can't make that promise.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Dr. Lecter.
Welcome back to the Rainy Day Horror Show. I'm Big Daddy D, and you are listening to the number one podcast on the internet. And on today's horror movie breakdown, Dusty is going to be talking about one of the greatest horror movies to have ever hit Hollywood, The Silence of the Lambs. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce your host for this evening's show, Dusty McBalls, a.k.a. the Certified Cougar Hunter, and your host with the most. Now sit back, shut up, and enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Big D, for that beautiful little intro. And yes, like he said, on today's horror movie breakdown, we are doing The Silence of the Lambs. I hope my beautiful people are doing good today. God damn, I love this fucking movie. I can't stress enough how much I love this fucking movie. It's impeccable. It's awesome. It's great. It's grand. It is. It's just wow. And I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being 100% honest. This movie is wow. I saw it for the first time last night. And it. Well, we've got to save my thoughts for when it comes up, okay? How we usually run this episode for the people that are new. First, we go through the synop, or the synopsis, as it is known in the biz. Then we go through the actors, the actresses, the director, who made it, the writer, everybody that is involved with this movie. After that, we move on to my thoughts on this beautiful movie, and then we roll into the inspiration and stuff like that that was, you know, incorporated into this movie. And then finally, our favorite part of this episode, the Rotten Tomato reviews. So, without further ado, let's jump into this beautiful episode. So sit back, relax, and just escape reality with me for a little while. First off, I gotta take a drink. Today's drink of choice for the people that are wondering is Olipop, okay? It is the cherry cola flavored. If you're wondering what it does, it is supporting digestive health, okay? And we all know that I have a very fucked up stomach, so trying to get that gut right, trying to, you know, help influence a healthy diet. I don't know, I've been really on like a, like, feeling like I want to eat healthy just because I've been eating like crap for the past few weeks. So, it's time to get that gut back right, right? And you know what I mean? And I mean, whoa, I'm getting too excited here. What I mean by getting my stomach right again is I have just been eating out non-stop. Just crap. Just nastiness, all right? And we can't have that, all right? I don't want my stomach to be hurting anymore, all right? My tummy is tired of it. So, today we got the Olipop trying to get our gut check. You know, make sure it starts going smooth again. But we're going to jump into this right now. So, the synopsis for this movie is Jodie Foster stars as Clarice Starling, a top student at the FBI's training academy. Jack Crawford wants Clarice to interview Dr. Hannibal Lecter, a brilliant psychiatrist who is also a violent psychopath, serving life behind bars for various acts of murder and cannibalism. Crawford believes that Lecter may have insight into a case and that Starling, as an attractive young woman, may be just the bait to draw him out. Rating: R. Genre: mystery and thriller, crime, drama. Original language: English. Director: Jonathan Demme. I think that's how you pronounce it. Producer: Ronald M. Bosman, Edward Saxon, and Kenneth Utt. Writer: Thomas Harris and Ted Talley. Release date: theaters, February 13th, 1991, worldwide. Release date: streaming, August 27th, 2015. Box office: gross, USA, holy shit, they made a lot of money. $130.7 million. Wow, that's impressive. I didn't think it would have made that much. That's actually really, really cool. I like that. Good for them. Runtime: it's not that typical hour and a half. All right. We're looking upwards more of 2 hours. Technically, it's 1:59, but we're going to round up in this case. So 2 hours. Distributor: Orion Pictures. Production company: Orion Pictures. And that is it. Now, onto the cast and crew. Jodie Foster plays Clarice Starling. Anthony Hopkins, Dr. Hannibal Lecter. Scott Glenn, Jack Crawford. Ted Levine, James Buffalo Bill Gum. Anthony Heald plays Dr. Frederick Chilton. And Brooke Smith plays Catherine Martin. Catherine Martin. Diane Baker plays Senator Ruth Martin. Cassie Lemons plays Don't know how to say the first name. Charles Napier plays Lieutenant Boyle. Roger Corman plays FBI Director Haid Burke. And George A. Romero. Didn't know he was in this movie. That's actually really, really interesting. The Godfather of zombie talk. He plays an FBI agent in Memphis. And those are the most important names when it comes to the actors and the actresses. Now, on to my thoughts on this movie. I think it is beautiful. I fucking love it, all right? I really do. So, before watching this movie, my favorite, like, horror villain was the old couple from X, obviously, my favorite horror movie of all time. Jason, those are my top two, and those are the only two I ever really cared about, right? But now we have Hannibal fucking Lecter. Hannibal fucking Lecter. This is my first time ever watching this movie, people. Never seen it. If you're listening to yesterday's episode, you would know that. But like, holy shit. The way he like psychoanalyzes everything, especially Clarice, throughout this entire fucking movie is awesome. One of my favorite parts, I'm going to hit you guys off with a spoiler right away, so if you don't want to listen to it, close your ears in about 5 seconds. My favorite part that Hannibal Lecter does in this movie is when he kills the cop to escape out of Memphis and wears his fucking face. And then he takes it off in the fucking ambulance. Wow. I loved it. Okay, when I first, you know, when they called him out to be on top of the elevator, I thought maybe he drugged himself to put him out and he wouldn't feel anything, kind of like in a partial coma. And they're going to take him to the hospital, but the way that they did take it with him waking up in the ambulance, that shit was fucking awesome. It was so fucking good. And not even to, like, Buffalo Bill in this movie, also absolutely a fucking psycho. Totally crazy. The way he freaked out about his dog was, I thought it was so fucking funny. By the way, that dog, Precious, that's the ugliest fucking dog I've ever seen. That is one fucking ugly ass dog. I'm sorry to any of you that have a dog like that. That bitch was ugly. So when it broke its leg, I was like, and Catherine was in, you know, the cellar, or the well, I should say. Bro, I wanted to snap its fuck. I was like, bitch, snap it. Get it over with. Crack it like a twig. Just over the knee, branch style. Just fucking crack that shit, bro. I thought that dog was so fucking annoying. I also really liked the foreshadow in this movie. They had a whole lot of it, okay? Kind of have to pay attention. It's not like you absolutely need to be like, how in a Jordan Peele movie, like, you're like, oh, I need to figure out what the message is behind this, right? You don't have to pay attention that hard. You can watch it freely and just, you naturally pick up on what's going on. And I thought that was beautiful too. The foreshadowing is just amazing. I really, really love that about this movie. Another one of my favorite parts, close your ears again because I'm going to spoil it, is at the end when Hannibal Lecter gets out and, you know, you find out he's somewhere, I would assume somewhere in the Caribbean islands. I don't know specifically where, but I would assume he's somewhere down there. And you see the fucking doctor that was such a dick to him at the psychiatric facility that he was at, and he's like, I'm about to meet up with somebody and have him as my last meal. Bro, that was fucking awesome. That was so fucking cool. One of my favorite fucking parts of this movie. It is so dope. I just loved Hannibal Lecter's mannerisms throughout this movie. And just how he carries himself. Like, he doesn't, like, he's not a cocky asshole, right? He doesn't pretend he is the smartest guy in the room, or at least I didn't get that impression from watching this movie, right? But they gave him that typical, like, Hollywood, like, he's a serial killer, and he knows how to pick up on this shit, right? He's a smart fucking dude, and he knows how to pick up on this shit. I love that they played into that. And I wonder if this is what kind of kicked it off for that to be in a lot of mainstream horror movies, right? And I love that about this movie. I really, really did. He's just the way, I don't know, bro. It's just, he was just so fucking cool. He was such a cool character. And at the end, when Clarice catches Buffalo Bill, well, it doesn't really, well, yeah, we'll say catch, wink, wink, catches him. He calls her and basically is like, hey, congratulations. Like, I fucking loved that. Because they kind of went their separate ways, and it was kind of like a handshake, even though she was like, you know, I can't do that, right? I can't leave you alone. But it was like, I wish, oh, I loved that part. That was so fucking dope. So dope. And just the whole, like, FBI chase behind it. Like, I was, like, so excited every time she went and talked to Hannibal Lecter, because it was weird. It was like an actual interview. Like, you know, you go through YouTube, right? And you see, like, your favorite little interview, you know, somebody's interviewing Triple H, right? He's a WWE wrestler. Or somebody's interviewing Ariana Grande. Ooh, Justin Bieber. Taylor Swift. Oh, right? Fucking interviews of people that you want to see being interviewed. And you're just fucking in tune with that interview. That's how I was every time Clarice went and talked to Hannibal Lecter. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. This movie really, I don't, like, probably one of my favorite serial killer movies, right? If I'm being honest, it is tied with the Poughkeepsie Tapes. If you haven't seen that, and you love, like, serial killer and fucking, what is it? Serial killer and, like, crime movies, the Poughkeepsie Tapes, you need to watch. I told you, I know we did a movie breakdown on it a few weeks ago, right? And if you haven't watched it, bro, I'm telling you to go fucking watch it. So good. But yeah, I loved this movie. I loved it. It was so, because, like, I've seen, like, pictures on social media and stuff like that, obviously, of, like, specific scenes or pictures of specific scenes. And it was so cool, and it felt so awesome to relive that scene where, well, not really relive it, but see it for the first time in its full format when he's being wheeled off of the airplane and when he's wearing, like, the typical Hannibal Lecter mask. He's in the straight jacket on the little dolly thing, and he goes right up to the senator. I fucking love that. I fucking loved watching that full scene for the first time in its entirety. For people that don't know, sorry, I'm kind of just picking out favorite parts of this movie. I'm going to do a quick rundown of basically the whole movie. So Clarice, she is at Quantico in West Virginia. She's a West Virginia native. Her dad was a cop, and she is going through the FBI Academy. Well, the FBI director, not really director, but what was it? It was like emotional behavior specialist guy. He's doing this whole documentary, but he's like documenting, talking to serial killers that are locked up and stuff like that. And he tells Clarice to go interview Hannibal Lecter. And while she's interviewing Hannibal Lecter, there's also a serial killer going around named Buffalo Bill. Well, as she is interviewing Hannibal Lecter, he is giving her very cryptic messages on how to catch Buffalo Bill. And it's basically this whole wild goose chase where Hannibal Lecter helps her out, and she tries to get Hannibal Lecter transferred to a different facility so he can have a window and see the ocean. Not really the ocean, but either like some trees or a lake or a river or just whatever, right? That's what he wants. And so he helps her out, and she helps him out by getting that for him. And eventually, Hannibal Lecter finds out that she's lying, and he gets sent to a facility in Memphis where he eventually, people that don't want to spoil that haven't seen it, breaks out. And then she, as she's leaving, well, fuck, let me rewind. All right. People that haven't seen it yet, close your ears again for another 5 seconds. So before he breaks out, he tells her some stuff, and then she goes off and tries to find the killer, Buffalo Bill, and then Hannibal Lecter breaks out, and then Hannibal Lecter isn't seen throughout the movie until the end, but Clarice goes and captures the killer. That's basically it. That's basically it. Now, the doctor in this movie that Hannibal Lecter hates, total dickwad. So I'm really happy at the end of the movie you can infer what happens to the doctor. That little piece of fucking shit. But yeah, I love this movie. I think it was so fucking beautiful. And being, you know, I didn't know it was that old, right? I didn't know it came out in 1991. I thought it was like mid to late 90s. And it's funny, another thing that I noticed throughout this movie, since it was shot in 1991, you can really see the transfer of like the world from the 80s into the 90s. And it was really, really interesting. Like, you get a little bit of that early 90s music, but also some of the late 80s rock and roll. You get to see some of the late 80s hairstyles while also seeing the newer hairstyles of the 90s. It was just, yeah, it was just really, really interesting. Really, really cool. And I loved it. I love that part of this movie. I think this movie is the oldest horror movie breakdown that we have done on this channel. Don't quote me on it, but I think it is. I think the one before that was, what was it? Final Destination, the first one? Because I think that one was 2000. Yeah, 2000, 2001. But then again, I could be completely wrong. I don't know 100%. We've done so many of these people that, like, I can't remember everything about, you know. But, yeah, this is a good fucking movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's also based on real serial killers. Not based on, but took inspiration from certain serial killers. If you listen to my Serial Killer Sunday episodes, you know what serial killers that it took inspiration from. But we are going to roll into our inspiration and stuff like that behind the movie. We're gonna dive a little bit deeper into it. I'm gonna cover the real serial killers and some other fun facts about this movie, and then I'm going to explain the title and how it ties fully into the movie, because I know if you pay attention throughout the movie, you will eventually figure it out because Clarice comes out and says it. But, you know, I'll explain a little bit more on it. So, we are going to talk about the film a little bit more in depth. Sorry, that was really, really weird because we're already talking about the film. But we're going to turn to Screen Rant, our second favorite website on this channel, just behind Rotten Tomatoes. So our first partial topic that we're going to cover on this is the book, because it is based off of a book, versus the movie, and which Buffalo Bill is scarier. So now, this movie is adapted from a novel of the same name that hit the stores 3 years before the film's release in 1998. I didn't know the book came out in 1998. That's actually really, really cool. Now, although according to Screen Rant, the plot remains relatively the same. There are a handful of changes between the film and the novel. One of Silence of the Lambs' changes is the Buffalo Bill's character, who is somehow even more disturbing and horrifying on the page. Much has been noted about Levine's stellar performance, but the movie suffers from having to shorten much of the depiction of the character, simplifying the villain down and prevented some major moments from appearing in the movie. Now, if I'm being honest, if they wanted to make this a 3-hour long movie, I wouldn't have cared. I would have been here for it. I would have watched the entire fucking thing. I would have loved it. See, this is what we got to stop doing in the horror community, people. Specifically in Hollywood, when it comes to horror movies. Don't limit it to 1.5 hours. Right? If it's a 3-hour movie, fuck it. I'm going to go watch it, right? Because I love horror. Look at Avatar. That's not a horror movie, but look at Avatar. That's like 3 hours long, and it's one of the, like, top grossing movies in all of cinema history. I think it's right behind Titanic. I think Titanic is still number one, but I could be wrong. But I'm just saying, if they wanted to do the entire fucking book, I would have been here for it. Or if they would have made it like a 2-part series, bro, I would have fucking lived for that too. I would have loved that. Now, Buffalo Bill's psyche and backstory are further dissected in the novel, explaining that he wants to look like his dead mother. This elaborates on his motivation in a way that makes the villain more chilling by furthering his parallels with real serial killers. Now, if you don't know what serial killer wanted to, you know, be like his dead mom, that is Ed Gein, right? That is Ed Gein. He did dress up to be, well, he did make a skin suit so he could wear his something similar to his mother. He wanted to live in her skin, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Though Ted Levine's performance creates a more visceral, unnerving Buffalo Bill due to the nature of the movie being a faster medium where audiences can't decide their own pace as they might with the book, the Silence of the Lambs series has an arguably scarier version of the character in the novel by allowing audiences a deeper insight into the installment's villain. Now, one thing that I do like about this movie, by the length, it is, well, let me take that back, okay? At some points, I looked over at Gabby and was like, is this going to be a slow burn? Like a slow burner? And she said, yeah, it is. But it didn't feel slow. Like, it kind of picked up right from the beginning. I didn't really think it was that slow at all. I thought it was pretty fast-paced. But there were, you know, parts in the beginning. Like, then again, okay, I was very excited to watch this movie and see it for the first time. So I thought, you know, it moved pretty quick for me. But, I mean, if you're like, oh, this movie, right, I don't want to watch this. I've already seen it a bunch of times. Then it might be a little bit of a slow burner. But still, I thought it kind of jumped into it right away. Now we're going to get on to Buffalo Bill and real serial killers and how it makes him a scarier villain. Now, according to Screen Rant, the essence of any good horror movie is giving the audience enough information so that the story on screen can come alive in their minds. The Silence of the Lambs not only accomplishes this feat with flying colors, but takes this device a step further in basing Buffalo Bill on a true story. And we all know who it is based off of. It is based off of Ted Bundy, Gary Heidnik, and Ed Gein. Now, I've seen some discrepancies with Ed Gein on this one. I've seen some people say that Hannibal Lecter is based off of Ed Gein, but I've also seen people say Buffalo Bill is also based off of Ed Gein. So I don't know really which one. I mean, they kind of both tap into the cannibalism part, but I would say Buffalo Bill is more like Ed Gein, strictly for the fact of the skin suit. So, and none of the other serial killers really did that. Now, I was reading somewhere saying that there are specific scenes where they take inspiration from these three serial killers. Now, with the women being locked up in the basement, obviously that's Gary Heidnik. If go back and listen to yesterday's episode, if you didn't check it out yet, it's graphic, it's terrifying, right? The part where Buffalo Bill shoves the senator's daughter into the back of the van. I read somewhere that the director took inspiration from Ted Bundy because that's what he would do. And then the skin suit, obviously, if you know really, really bad serial killers, that's Ed Gein. So if you want to know more about Ed Gein, I also have an episode out on him. Now, we're going to learn a little bit. This is kind of interesting. Buffalo Bill's personality was improvised a lot of the time. Now, even though Ted Levine had an incredible performance, a phenomenal performance. I was going to say in-performance, but that's not what I was trying to say. There were moments where he did take a little, where he did ad-lib, did make up some shit on spot. Specifically one scene, which is probably arguably, according to some horror movie fanatics, his most famous scene, was when he was dancing naked in Goodbye Two, well, not in, but Two Goodbye Horses. Specifically the scene, for the people that maybe don't remember. Remember when he had a mangina? Yeah, that's the scene where he just tucks his junk between his legs and starts dancing around. That's the specific part I'm talking about. Also, another great thing about this movie, I forgot to include this, there's fucking comedy in it. Like dark humor. And it is so fucking funny. I'm trying to think of another instance other than the mangina part where it was funny. But there's something Hannibal Lecter said that was so fucking funny when you first meet him. Forgot what it was. But I will say this. Another funny part is it Mibbs? Meebs? Mebs? Gibbs? Forgot his name. But the guy that's in the cell next to Hannibal Lecter at the psychiatrist place, at the psychiatric facility, he's like jerking off in his sheets, right? And as Clarice leaves the first meeting with Hannibal Lecter, she walks slowly by his cell. And he's like, I bit my wrist so I could bleed. You want to see? And he literally threw a whole wad, like a handful of his own cum, straight into her face. Now, I thought that shit was so, so fucking funny. I thought it was so fucking funny. Probably one of my other favorite parts in this movie. But, like, yeah, it's awesome. Now, I'm going to tell you some of the stuff behind the movie, allegedly, the title. Well, I'm going to tell you some things about the title that it's allegedly, inferring stuff. So let me rewind. I'm going to tell you guys some things about the title that you may have not already known. According to Screen Rant, the Silence of the Lambs title is a metaphor for innocent victims. And this is what they're saying. When we first meet Foster's agent Clarice Starling, she is a young, talented trainee at the FBI Behavioral Academy. She's asked to assist with the capture of a sadistic serial killer on the loose, Buffalo Bill. This Silence of the Lambs villain draws from real-life serial killers. Already knew that. He murders his victims and skins them, making pieces of clothing he can wear later on. We already know that. Foster eventually becomes submersed in this case because of her ability to empathize with the imprisoned Dr. Hannibal Lecter, as well as the many innocent victims of Hannibal, Buffalo Bill, and countless other serial killers. The innocent victims are the quote-unquote lambs to Clarice. They are helpless animals wandering and in need of guidance and protection. She sees her role at the FBI as a means of advocating for these lambs that can't protect themselves. She empathizes with the victims and works to save them, not just because that's her job, but because of trauma she experienced as a child. Okay? So at one point, she goes and lives with... I'm going to explain the story behind the lambs. At one point, she goes and lives with her aunt and uncle, I believe. And they live on a farm in Montana, and she goes... Well, she keeps going to sleep every night, and she hears these lambs screaming and won't stop screaming. So what she does one night after she's like trying to go to bed, she goes to the, the farm, the shed, and sees that they're being slaughtered. So what she does is she tries to help them escape, but she can only help one. And so as she's running with it, she runs out of town, or she like runs away, and then she gets captured and then has to go back where she's ultimately sent to an orphanage. And she has a dream about that night all the time. And when she dreams about it, she just wakes up and she just hears the lambs screaming as she's waking up and stuff like that. So she's telling Hannibal Lecter this because Hannibal Lecter goes, "Oh, you grew up in an orphanage." There you go. That's the story. And to further go on this, if you want to take it a step further from what I was reading, Catherine, who is the senator's daughter, she is that one lamb that Clarice saves. And when she gets her Medal of Honor at the end for helping catch Buffalo Bill, and Hannibal calls her, he says, "I see you have silenced the lambs." So, don't know if you knew that, but there it is for you. That is the explanation behind the title, which I fucking love. I love little hidden metaphors and shit like that. I think it's awesome. So, now we're going to get onto our final and best part of this episode, the Rotten Tomato reviews. So, this one, wow, these are actually kind of fucking new. Like, really, really new. Like, 2022 to 2023, we're going to have to scroll all the way down to like a 19. Oh my god, they have 153 reviews. I'm going to have to try and find one from 1991. So, our first one comes from Wendy Ide. She works for the Times UK. She's a top critic. Just burped into the mic, I'm sorry. The crux of his excellent thriller is the battle of intellect and wills between them. In parentheses, Clarice Starling and Dr. Hannibal Lecter. J. Scott, Globe and Mail. Well, works for the Globe and Mail, top critic. A failure that is a function of its success. Our third critique comes from Kathy Huffhines. She works for the Detroit Free Press and is a top critic. Throughout the movie, Demi gets across more terror than a dozen Friday the 13th by showing not the horrifying thing itself, but the faces of people looking at horror. I forgot to mention this too. One thing that I did really like about this, another thing that I really did like about this movie, is that they didn't show the gore, really. I mean, you see photographs and stuff of it, but it's really, really cool to see that you can just kind of infer it, really, and it's just like, oh, this is creepy. I wonder what they're looking at. Like, you want to fucking see. You want to see what's going on, but they don't really show you. Some stuff they do, I'm not going to lie. Some stuff they do, a few parts they do, but for the most part, they kind of keep it a little bit hidden. Now, our fourth critique comes from Jeffrey M. Anderson, from Combustible Celluloid. The Academy also rightly awarded Best Actress to Foster for being the part... Oh, let me see the full review. What do we got here? What the fuck do we got? Oh, I don't want to see the full fucking thing. It's taking me to a different website. I don't want to see that shit. I'm trying to find one from... like the early... Oh, here's one from 1991. Perfect. February 13th, 1991. Owen Gleiberman. That's a funny name. Entertainment Weekly top critique. Demme has created a supremely sensuous and hypnotic thriller, and that's likely to become his first major hit. I'm going to do the last one, and this one comes from Tim Dirks from FilmSite, January 1st, 2000. He kind of looks like Jeffrey Epstein. Just noticed that, but we're rolling with it. The Silence of the Lambs, 1991, is one of the most taut, suspenseful, psychological thrillers ever produced. And with that, my lovely people, that is going to end our episode. So, hope you guys had a good Monday. I almost said Saturday for whatever fucking reason. But I hope you guys had a good Sunday. Hope you guys are just kicking it, having fun, relaxing. Well, I mean, I guess if you're at work, you're not really relaxing. Unless you have an easy job and you work from home. In that case, I'm jealous. But whatever. We're actually out here putting in work to you at-home worker that is listening right now. I hope you have fun. I hope you have fun just sitting in your little office at the house watching fucking Netflix while quote-unquote working, you asshole. We're all jealous of you. Go fuck yourself. But yes, I hope you guys are having a wonderful Monday. What do we got going on this week? Part 2 to the Hope Diamond, which I'm excited to fully get back into. I'll do a little recap on Monday or on Friday just to like let you guys know. Let's see what we got for Serial Killer on this Sunday. I forgot to tell you guys yesterday, and I'm not looking until now. So I'm really, really curious on what do we got going on. Let's see here. But yeah, let's see. What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Where are you? Where are the states? There we are. Where are we just at? Pennsylvania? Okay, we're headed to Oklahoma this Sunday. Head to Oklahoma this Sunday. So I'm excited to see what you got, Oklahoma. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. The land that is probably really, really flat. I feel like it's got a lot of plains there. Not like airplanes, but like plains, like flat fields, shit like that. I know you definitely got tornadoes. We're heading to you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'll let you guys go here. I'll let you guys get back to work. Just enjoy the rest of your day. All right. Remember, stay frosty, stay foxy. And most importantly, the most important thing on this planet, stay safe, you beautiful peacocks. I love y'all. Deuces.